Good day to everyone. Welcome to Impart, Inspire, Influence, and Impact by Infinitely More Life Ministries. I am your host, Era Jackson. And thank you so much for joining us for week number 3 out of 7 for the series Mind Controlled, Shift Your Thoughts, Change Your Life. Today I'm joined by Victoria Druckmann. She is a certified fitness trainer, a wife, a mother, an author, and a motivational speaker. Today, she's going to share with us different ways that you can recognize grief, different levels of grief, and how to move past grief. Victoria, what a joy it is to share time with you again today. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Era, for having me. This is going to be fun.
Absolutely. So for our audience members that don't know you, give us a little bit of background about yourself, a little bit more than what I shared.
Sure. Well, like you said, I am married. I have 3 adult, well, almost adult children, mm-hmm. 1 adult child who is married. I'm a grandmother. I'll be married 20 years this October. So that's been a fantastic feat in itself.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And, you know, I am not a typical speaker. I am not a typical motivational speaker. That wasn't part of my wheelhouse getting into the world. I actually used to do marketing for companies. I was an event marketer. So that was my world. I did all kinds of events, seminars, trade shows, you name it.
Wow.
And that's where I made my name initially, until God had another plan and took me on the journey into fitness training. And then from there moved out of St. Louis to Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Where I became an author. And one of the books I have authored is A Word of Comfort for the Grieving. And that is a devotional on the 12 steps of grieving. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to really get into the details of this with our group today.
Okay.
In addition, I do have another 2 books, one which I think might be one of the giveaways for some participants. So
nice.
Yes. Thank and you. That's on letting Thank go, you. Which really goes hand in hand with the grieving process. So, yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. You know, it's so funny that you say God had other plans for you. He always does, doesn't he?
Right.
We think we're going along doing our thing. And he's like, no, that's not where you're going. You're going right. somewhere else. So we're going to take you out of St. Louis, put you in Milwaukee, and then you're going to shift course altogether, right?
You bet. Shift Excellent. Change. Absolutely.
Well, we're glad that he made that shift and that we connected with you. We appreciate you so much and everything you've done with us here at Infinitely More Life.
Thank you.
So thank you for that background. Let's dive right in here. Sure. Share with me a story, maybe two, of how grief has personally affected you.
Well, I do have 2 stories. So the first one I would say is much more a traditional grief story. About 6 years ago now, okay. My oldest daughter was pregnant with her first baby. Mm-hmm. And at the time we were visiting up here in Milwaukee for a wedding, and she was about 22 weeks along, mm-hmm. and just was feeling aching, crampy and tired the whole entire day. Just not herself. And we said, well, go back to the house, lay down and rest. And, mm-hmm. Through a series of phone calls, we realized she was in labor. So we had her rushed to Waukesha Memorial, where she had to have an emergency C-section. Mm. Her baby was both breech and she was already at 10 centimeters.
Oh. So,
yeah, by the time she got to the hospital. So there was no fooling around. And she and the baby's father at the time and my husband were all at the hospital, and we're waiting in this waiting room, and the nurse comes in and she sits down next to me and she says, well, she goes, I'm just going to tell you, she goes, it is serious. Mm-hmm. We had to do an emergency C-section, and I don't know any more information right now, but as soon as we deliver the baby, we'll let you know and we'll let you back to see her. And I said, okay. Mm-hmm. So anybody who knows, obviously 22 weeks is very early. That's only half cooked.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot more development that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And being a woman of faith that I am, I immediately was on the phone getting my prayer partners, and mm-hmm. I knew God and I knew him well. And I thought, he is going to come through for us.
Right.
This is going to be a miracle testimony. Mm-hmm. And I just kept that positive attitude going and right. got to day one. And they said, you know, he had suffered a brain bleed in one of the quadrants of his brain.
Mm.
And so, you know, I was okay to, I was like, you know what? God can fix that. That God can do anything. He's the healer.
Mm-hmm.
And so we prayed, and I prayed over him in the NICU. My daughter wrote out scriptures and brought him in the NICU and pasted him on his little incubator and
yeah.
prayed over him. And, you know, it was like, this is good. This is, God is going to come through. And, mm-hmm. by day four, the neonatal doctor came in with all the staff, and they said, listen, he's had a brain bleed in all four quadrants of his brain.
Mm.
They said, he won't have a quality of life at all. And they said, so we need to talk to mom and dad and have a serious conversation with them. And they kicked us out.
Mm.
And at the same time, I'm like, wait, my daughter's 20 years old.
Right.
She can't make these decisions.
Right.
You know, you're watching your baby go through this,
mm-hmm.
and there's nothing you can do.
Right.
Not a thing. And you're like, they have to make this really adult decision, and they're barely adults themselves.
Correct.
And so, you know, you're still in a state of shock.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to let him go.
Mm.
That's always... gets me.
Yes, I know.
The next day, they took him off all of support,
mm.
and she got to hold him while he passed on.
Oh, my.
So, excuse me. It's still, you know, it's still very raw.
Sure. 6 years later, it doesn't change.
It doesn't.
That's a baby.
Exactly. And, mm-hmm. you know, and even that day, you know, they had actually ended up leaving the hospital later that day.
Wow. And
there used to be these little blankets that mm-hmm. You used to be able to put with the babies. It would take the mother's scent and put it with the baby. And
right.
so I had ordered one of those, and it came to my in-law's house where we were staying, and I was going to bring it up to the hotel or the hospital, but it came the day he passed.
Oh,
and
no.
So I'm just looking at this going, what do I do with this?
Right.
I asked my daughter, I said, I can send it back. Or she was like, no, just bring it up to the hospital and just bless somebody else with that. And I said, okay. And I get up there, and I've been so composed this whole time. And I said, I'm just going to keep being strong. I'm just going to keep just push through.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I can break down later, just not now. Mm-hmm. And I get up to the hospital. And of course, half the nurses don't know who I am. It's a new shift.
Right.
And the other nurse who was taking care of my daughter was there. And I walk in and I said, I'm here to, and I just, floodgates opened, and
yeah.
she came rushing out, and she's like, I know. And she was just as sweet as she could be.
Wow.
And left that, you know, I left that for whoever they gave mm-hmm. it to. You know, that grief story is, like I said, probably the most real and raw that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it wasn't even my son. It was my grandson,
right.
but it wasn't my son.
And still so a part of you though.
I can't even imagine people who lose their children. Mm-hmm. It breaks my heart. So, obviously here I am 6 years later, and I'm still crying because right. it's very real. Grief is serious, and it takes
right.
It does take a long time for people to heal from that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get into a little bit more of some of those things in a little bit, but, the other story is not nearly as tragic, and it may even sound a little vain, but I want people.
You know, that's funny. It's so interesting that grief can have different levels of tragedy.
Yes. And that is actually one of the, forms of grief.
Okay.
Forms of grief. And it's called traumatic grief. And so, yeah, there are different forms of grief. And the one I have to tell, the other one is not so traumatic. It's one I think most women can associate with, and that is aging. You know, we are all aging, and some more gracefully than others.
Correct.
And I will say I one of the devotionals I wrote was on grieving over just lost years. You know, I will admit, I confess, I have been a vain person. I've done things in the name of vanity that I don't like, that I regret. I cannot tell you how many stupid diets I've tried, how many dumb, ridiculous amounts of money I've spent on pills and procedures and and everything to fight the process. But guess what, ladies? You can't fight
it. It's coming, right?
It's coming whether you like it or not. So the fact that I really did have a hard time several years ago, just grieving over the fact that I am not the same size I was when I was 25, 35, 45. I am not the same, you know, the face, the lines, the hair, the just everything changes.
Right.
And I just grieved the years that I lost because I spent so much time doing the stupid stuff. So grief can be just the anger and the regret you feel for lost time.
You know, both of those stories are so interesting because we've had conversations before, you and I, and that last story that we talked about is something you're going through right now, and we know you've got that, you know, under control, and thank God for that.
Yeah.
So it's just so interesting that I agree with you. As a mother myself, I fear every day losing a child. You know, my children are not in any dangerous professions or anything of that nature, and they're good, upstanding citizens.
Sure.
But it's not them you worry about. It's the people around them.
Yes.
You know, yes. Just like driving. It's not you that drives crazy. It's the people around you.
Yes.
You know, So I totally understand that. And growing old gracefully, I'm telling you right now, I'm fighting it. There's no grace here. Look, I got the boxing gloves on and I'm ready.
Exactly.
Let's go.
I'm with you.
Oh my goodness gracious. We'll tag team it. Okay.
Right.
So let me ask you some questions. I know you have some visuals for us.
Yes.
Are you ready to share those now?
Yeah, let me see if I can share those and pull that up quickly.
Okay.
See what we got. Oh, there it is. Lovely.
And while you do that, let me ask you a really quick question.
Sure.
What does it mean to be stuck? And what are some causes of that?
Okay, so getting unstuck, yes. Well, so what I... All right, let's see if it'll give me the next page. Come on. My cursor's on the wrong screen, pardon me, so I fix this. Okay. So one of the things I wanted to try was showing people what stuck is, right? We all get stuck. So I found some synonyms for stuck. We get jammed, immovable. How many times? I mean, it's just like being stuck in a traffic jam and can't get anywhere. You can't go anywhere. You can't move forward. You can't move backward.
Right.
So you feel wedged in. You can feel bogged down, obstructed, squeezed, and I have several synonyms for being stuck. And all this to say...
So true.
All this to say that in each one of these areas, you can substitute grief. Each one of these areas is a place where we can get stuck, whether it is a form of loss or an absence of something. We can feel stuck. So getting unstuck, that is our goal when we're looking at some of our situations. So that's why I wanted to get into grief. And so obviously I've given example of grief, and all of us can give an example of grief. We've all experienced it on some level of some form or another. The Oxford Dictionary defines it as deep sorrow, especially that caused by someone's death. And I think that's the definition most people associate with grief.
Sure.
when I was asked to participate in this grief devotional that I wrote several devotions in, I almost declined it because I thought, well, even with the experience of my grandson, I thought, well, that's the only form of grief I've experienced. And not, I shouldn't say only, that's the only one that was fresh enough for me to remember.
Okay.
And I didn't feel like I could really contribute anything. And the publisher had said, you know, I want you to think outside that box and think about other ways people experience grief. And I think once they said that, it really sparked just a snowball effect of different areas of grief, kinds of grief, forms of grief, stages of grief. It ends up being a lot bigger than most people anticipate.
Mm-hmm.
So you had asked about that. So forms of grief. So as I mentioned, there are forms of grief, and the forms of grief are going to fall under the category of when this kind of thing happens. There's could be a response that falls under a broad umbrella. That's normal grief, like what we just talked about. Someone mm-hmm. passes away. That's that. Anticipatory grief is a reaction to a death you can anticipate. Obviously, mm-hmm. someone who's diagnosed with a terminal cancer diagnosis, or something that you know, this person, this is the inevitable and it's coming. So right. you're anticipating that. Chronic is something that just continually happens over and over with no progress. And I myself can't think of a specific experience for that. But, you know, even if someone who has not been given a terminal cancer diagnosis, but a cancer diagnosis that just continues over a long period of time, mm-hmm. that can form grief as well. A delayed response or delayed reactions to grief. There's a lot of us, and myself included, who have come under a circumstance and we don't react to it until maybe days later, weeks later.
Sure.
You know, so that's another form. And then collective is one that I think we can all associate mm-hmm. with right now. And I put in such as COVID or terrorists because, mm-hmm. you know, you look at 9/11, which recently, you know, we celebrate the anniversary of that, remembering those.
Right. People.
That is, as a society and community, we have collectively formed grief and support groups for those grieving in those situations. And then even for the COVID situation that we've all experienced, you know, there are plenty of communities who it hasn't become just about COVID. It's become about a whole slew of other things as well that have caused a lot of grief to occur in the community. So
right.
those are very, very pointed right at this point in time, I think.
I couldn't agree more. I want to ask about that anticipatory mm-hmm. Form of grief. Do you think that can also be considered premature grief? Because we're thinking ahead and we're already grieving instead of enjoying the moments we have left with that person. If it's the case of a terminal illness or something like that, we're putting the cart before the horse and we're grieving them and they're not even gone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that's the whole definition of fear, is fearing mm-hmm. something that even hasn't even happened yet. We're letting the enemy rob us of the joy of now.
Yes.
Anticipating something that, like you said, hasn't even happened yet.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And that's a whole different issue in and of itself, the fear and the worry and the distress, you know, that's that chronic continual distress of something that may not even happen for years to come.
Absolutely. You got it.
You know, you also said something about remembering when you were grieving, when you were asked to write the book, the devotional, and you said that recent fresh memory was that of your grandson.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that over time, the memory fades a little bit and it's not as poignant as it was in the moment? Do we forget it over time, or does it just happen to lessen?
You know, I think, again, it's going to be different for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
For myself, I can tell people about my grandson's passing
mm-hmm.
and not cry. It is when I get to explaining it in a little bit more detail.
Sure.
That all of those feelings and emotions come to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
So while we can still have those feelings and emotions, we can allow them to come to the surface and allow ourselves to experience them, because there is nothing good that comes from holding those things inside.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to keep pushing things down and pushing things down and pushing things down, you don't experience life. And that mm-hmm. is how we stay stuck. That's right. One of the ways we stay stuck. It's so very important to allow what happens to happen, to allow us to be okay with the feelings and emotions we have. And then, yes, in time, I do think that it is easier for me to mm-hmm. talk about Jameson's passing without being completely overwhelmed.
Sure. That
does happen. The feelings will still be real. The emotions will still be there. They'll still be raw, mm-hmm. but it becomes easier. And this I say from a perspective of a person of faith,
mm-hmm.
but it becomes easier to remember those situations, knowing that God does not bring a situation into our life without a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
If in fact the sole purpose for me experiencing the death of my grandson's passing was for me to be able to speak to other women about grief and allowing them to be able to process these feelings, to be able to understand that that there's a God who loves us and he doesn't leave anything for our harm, but it always turns around for our good, that he will use what the enemy meant for harm and turn it for his good and his glory. And that's the point that I really want to get across to everybody is that you're going to go through trying times. You're going to mm-hmm. go through grief. You're going to have to deal with some of these really hard, hard life issues, but it's never without a purpose or a plan, even if you can't see it. So you're right. Yes.
That's amazing. And just listening to you talk about the stress, you know, that is part of the aging process. The more we stress, our bodies aren't equipped to handle stress to the degree that we sometimes cause it. And that does contribute to the aging factor. You may have heard oxidative stress.
Yes.
You know, when your body is under intense emotional anxiety, you might feel like you're okay, but your body is not. The chemical reactors are doing their thing and you're aging yourself prematurely.
Absolutely. Yeah. You'll find as a fitness trainer, that's been, you know, one of the things I do is help people relieve some of these stresses through physical activity, because what you said is right. Not only does it have a chemical reaction on the inside of the body, but because of that constant reaction, that stress and the chemicals released inside the body, it causes a lot of inflammation in the body.
Yeah.
Pain. You'll mm-hmm. find people who are under a lot of stress, like they have neck issues and back issues.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically you put that weight of the world on your shoulders. What do you expect? It's going to hurt after a while. So there's a very physical sense that comes out that people have to, that they have to deal with too. So yeah.
That is very true. People don't understand that pain really is just pent up stuck energy. Here we go. Stuck.
Yep.
Stuck energy. That stuck energy is causing you pain and it needs to be released, whether it's through physical exercise or acupuncture, meditation, or whatever it is, definitely needs to be removed. And, you know, I relate so well to what we're talking about here, because my mother had a terminal cancer diagnosis and passed away 8 years ago now, on my birthday, as a matter of fact, and I knew it would happen on my birthday.
Ugh.
I was at church on Good Friday and I was crying. And I told a couple of people she's going to pass on my birthday. And she did that morning, eight minutes before I woke up that morning. And like you with your grandson, I can tell the story without the heavy, heavy tears mm-hmm. most of the time.
Yeah.
Because I also feel like, you know, her death had a purpose. Mm-hmm. I was dating a person at the time and she liked him, you know, he liked her and everything, but his true colors came out during her diagnosis and her battle. And I swear, I feel like her diagnosis was intended by God for me to see this man's true colors and that he wasn't worthy of the marriage we were talking about.
Wow, that is huge.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Jameson,
yes,
as you were talking about him and you were talking about his death, and if the purpose of his birth and death was for you to do what you're doing right now and talk to women about grief, think about the fact that Jesus came and died and his death was for a purpose.
Absolutely.
His death was for a purpose, and that was to free us all from grief, stress, worry, anxiety. The Bible tells us, our scriptures say, we do not have a spirit of worry or fear, correct?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So I'm so glad that you're here talking to us about this. So we have forms of grief here. Are there different stages of grief as well?
There are. So get to the next slide here. So the stages of grief, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who I will credit because that's where this all started, has five stages of grief that she has written about. And the first is denial. And I think, you know, even as I talked about my grandson, I kept saying, in the waiting room, this is not happening. This is not happening. And I think everybody could be familiar with that part of experiencing a grief. This is not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Anger. That was probably not as prominent. Because I have a good loving God, and I,
right.
You know, but that's not always the case for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of people who will lose a spouse or a child and they'll become very angry and angry at God, mm-hmm. and turn from the faith. And so that's another reason I do this, is because I want people to realize that that's not the case, and that's a whole nother series.
Mm-hmm.
Whole other bag of worms, but
anger, we'll have you back there.
Right. So anger is another phase of that, or a stage of that. Bargaining. I don't know. I didn't really go through this part of the phase, but there are, you'll hear of people say, God, if you would just save this person, I will do this. Or God, right. if you make them well, I will do this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do that with God, and we'll do it with doctors. We'll do it with family members, whatever the case.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, there is depression, you know, because that is a loss, and mm-hmm. it's an emptiness that is not replaceable, you know. The only thing that replaces that is Jesus Christ, and he doesn't really replace it, but he fills that space.
Mm-hmm.
Then acceptance, and that is the big one. That is the one where I think most people get stuck. Most people find it hard to move past the acceptance stage or get even into the acceptance stage. Mm-hmm. But in that acceptance stage is where we find our doors opening.
Mm.
The light comes on and we are able to move past this. And it doesn't mean you don't ever have to think about that person again. It doesn't mean you have to let go of those memories. It just means you're letting go of the pain that is chaining you to the past.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
So, is it safe to say then that the acceptance phase or stage is where healing begins?
I would absolutely. I mean, healing actually will begin if you get through the first phase of the stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you move through each of these stages, it's all a healing process.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel, in my own opinion, and I am not a doctor, but in my own opinion, the healing really comes into light in the acceptance stage.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I was thinking, as you were talking earlier about the terminal cancer diagnosis and that, what about those that are not terminal, such as in particular, us ladies, in particular, breast cancer, breast removal, mastectomies.
Right.
You know, that's a whole, I can all five stages grief in someone going through that.
Absolutely, you're right. Because There's like so much even in that one sentence you just said. You know, my mom is a breast cancer survivor. She had breast cancer. She did not have to have a mastectomy. She did not have to have anything removed, which was great. But for those women who do,
mm-hmm.
that's a sense of loss. I mean, right. For some, it could be a loss of their femininity. It could mm-hmm. be a loss of their physical appearance of, and I don't want to say vanity because that is a huge, that while that is the term, it still doesn't really clearly identify what that is, I don't think.
Right.
There's a loss of their health, a loss of their youth. I mean, there's so much wrapped in there. So yeah. So for people who are going through those specific ordeals, they are going through grief and they will have to go through some of these stages. They'll go through the denial and I am sure anger would be part of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there would be bargaining. How do you get through all that and get to the acceptance stage? That right. in lies, it sounds really trite to say, well, you just have to accept it and try to move on. But mm-hmm. there is an element of that you do have to accept the current situation you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not giving in. That is not being trite. That is not dismissing. That no. is not being irrelevant. That is basically saying, listen, I know this is this. In the case of breast cancer, I know this is what the doctor says.
Mm-hmm.
And I will do everything that I feel the Lord is leading me to do
mm-hmm.
prayerfully
right.
and medically.
Right.
And I will receive whatever that healing form comes in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Correct. Because healing does not always look like getting well. And that is one of the things that I accepted in the hospital as my mother was laying there unconscious with scan, what do you call those things, like electrodes or whatever, right. monitoring her brain activity because she mm-hmm. was seizuring. And I prayed over her, again, like you, woman of God, woman of faith. And I prayed over her and I said, dear God, you know, let your will be done. We accept it. We may not like it, but whatever healing looks like to you, we will accept it.
Right. Right.
Because that doesn't always mean that they're going to go home to right. their physical home here on earth, but they will go home to God.
Yes.
Our rightful home. And it's so interesting that we're talking about these stages of grief because acceptance, for me, when I hear that word, from a biblical perspective, that means that we have to just praise him in the storm we're in, no matter what it is.
Yes, absolutely. That is the submission and obedience.
Mm-hmm.
That describes the faith walk. That
yes.
describes, you know, if we're going to accept the things that God has for us in life, we can't just accept the good things. We got to accept the bad things that happen. And I don't mean for people to say, bring on the bad. Okay. That's
right.
not what I'm saying.
No.
We live in a fallen world. Bad things are going to happen.
Right.
And
we should accept it. And yeah. count it all joy, remember?
Count it all joy and praise him and thank him even through and in the storm. Because there is a day coming when he will wipe every tear.
Mm-hmm.
We will be with him again. And it does not make us feel any better all the time to know those things. The grief is just one of those areas where people talk about it a lot. There's a lot of support groups. But it's the one thing that I think there's not always an answer to.
Right.
And people right. want answers. And unfortunately, we may not ever have the answers this side of heaven. And I know that's not what people want to hear.
Right.
But it's truth. And I'm trying to speak the truth in love mm-hmm. and help mm-hmm. people understand that we have a loving God. And he will always lead us forth with his word, with his love, with his forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to walk it out and submit to him in obedience and acceptance and see what door he opens for us after that.
Absolutely. I agree. And I totally understand what you're saying. You know, people don't want to hear the truth, especially in this instant gratification society and this entitlement society.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They don't want to hear that. And I understand, but, you know, the more we, again, praise him in that storm and just say, you know, Lord, let your will be done, the sooner we literally will get out of that storm because he will open those doors that will break those chains if you just appreciate him for who he is.
Yes, yes. And what you said is very key. The sooner we accept it, we can move forward. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that my belief is when we enter into these areas of opportunities to break through, there's mm-hmm. a reason the word says break through. You have to break yeah. through something. You have to penetrate something to get to your breakthrough. Mm-hmm. And if there's nothing there, then there's no opportunity either. So we really have to be on our game. If mm-hmm. you want to experience your breakthrough, you're going to have to overcome. You're going to have to go through these phases and stages and forms and get to that acceptance and submission and obedience. And that is it right there. Then you can get your Absolutely. Breakthrough.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes people don't realize, and this is basically what we're talking about through this whole 7-week series is, you know, when the people were in the were in Egypt and they were enslaved, they were not happy. But the moment they were taken out and then things got tough and they couldn't handle it and, you know, they're going round and round in the wilderness, they wanted to go back to that prison, so to speak, mm-hmm. because it was better than what they were in their mind. It was, at least they had food, right?
It was familiar. Yeah.
Correct. It was familiar, but we're here to just tell people get comfortable with getting uncomfortable.
That's right. That's right.
You can't get comfortable in what's bringing you down and what's holding you back and what is oppressing you.
Right. Absolutely.
But get comfortable in the thought of freedom, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I feel like the Lord is wanting me to share this one verse because it keeps coming up every time we're talking. And so I don't want to lose it before we end. But the one verse that the Lord keeps bringing to my memory is, "Come to me all who are weary and heavy laden and I will give you rest."
Yes.
Weariness, yeah. Heavy laden. These are all, you know, forms of being stuck mm-hmm. and in grief. And the rest that he provides is a supernatural rest. Mm-hmm. It is a rest and a peace that you will not find in this world with any other means or matter. It is only through Jesus mm-hmm. Christ that you will find the rest that will refresh you and give you peace and bring you into a place of acceptance.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, I love that word supernatural, right?
Yes.
And I'm going to steal the breakdown from our guest next week, Carrie Reichards. We were having a prayer time, and what we're hoping for is for God to put his super into our natural.
Amen. Yes.
You know, and you're right, that supernatural peace that we don't understand because it surpasses all of our understandings because we're not him.